It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Boom. And what's up? Welcome back, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I'm your host, the maniacal menace Kyle Smith, said a whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And today, it should be a good one today, goddammit. I got the homie sitting over to the side, Mr. Answer himself in Facebook questionnaires John Reynolds.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to give you a whole bunch of shit, but then I was like, questionnaires. That's not what he does. So that, you know, but yes.
Yes, I do in fact respond to my own Facebook posts.
I love it. I love that. That makes it, because that's your thing. That's
if you can't talk to yourself, who can you talk to?
Who can you run to? And also, on the green microphone over there, looking like a bandit, we got the homie Kamari Stevens.
Hello,
in the
hello,
building.
Hello, Kamari Stevens, bandit.
Yes,
man, in the house.
I love it. Today we are being accompanied by John's Zoom setup that he has here, which got us sounding golden. I'm assuming.
Yeah, you guys sound good.
Oh, good. How do you sound?
My mic sounds right.
I just don't like the way my voice sounds, so I probably sound like I always sound.
Oh, you hate your voice.
Sounds right.
Oh, that's good. That's good to start in. How long you been doing comedy, John?
I'd say if we count the pandemic year, it'd be 3 months. What's today's date? What's today's date?
March something.
March 8th.
I'd say tomorrow would be 3 years.
Ooh, okay.
Well, happy 3 years.
All right, breaking that threshold. That's what's up. So, like, once you do something.
Yeah, the
pandemic, year? Yeah, definitely.
That might count more.
Once you do. Hello.
Hey.
Once you get to your third year of anything, once you get to the third of anything, that's when it's like, all right, because, you know, the first year is like, this could be a fluke. Second year, you'd be like, what's going on? Third year is like, all right, I've been around. I've been here. I've been doing this.
You put in time.
Yeah.
You probably had, like,
definitely.
Some victories. You probably had some mighty defeats.
A lot of defeats.
You know what I'm saying? I know that I've had them myself.
Those
so.
Goddamn defeats are terrible.
Because, I mean, you know, that's always the... It's easy to roll with the punches when things is going good, but...
When things go bad, they go sour.
When punches is one-hitter quitters...
They go sour.
You
like
know
what I mean? So, John, we were just speaking on setups and getting things complete and how you sound. How do you feel on stage now? Since you're three years in, you're still kind of fresh to things. Like, how is your journey so far?
My comedy journey?
Yeah.
We're going there.
Yeah. We need to know. This is you know, for the people that want to start it off somewhere.
I can go on stage sober now, and it doesn't bother me.
Oh, really? How long did that take?
Like 7 months.
Okay.
Well, but the first 6 months was all bombing, though, so it was good that I was drunk for that. Pretty good.
Where did you always know that, or did you have in the back of your mind when you were little that you were probably going to do comedy when
no,
you got older?
No, it never crossed my mind that I was going to do comedy until I was on stage the first time.
So did somebody tell you, or do you just decided that this is what you would like to try out?
I'm a longtime comedy fan. Like, I've been watching all the people in New Orleans since maybe before Katrina. I've been going to shows.
Oh, shit. It's a while.
And I used to think that I was a super comedy fan. I'd go to maybe like 10 open mics or 10 book shows a year, like 20 times. And I was like, I'm a super fan.
10 of them a year. I'm a fan now.
Like, you go to 20 shows, I'm a fan. Like, now it's like when, before COVID, I'd go to 20 shows in a week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild down here. It's definitely a different lane compared to other places, because other places are so big. It's so small and knit tight.
Intimate.
That you can just really just like hit many shows, multiple shows during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that, you know, this is after this is post-corona, Is that that, that
we, I mean, we
yeah.
Mid.
This, I guess, fucking, I'm going off of Texas rules right now. And Texas, and Texas like, we 100%, bitch.
We got different realities.
Fuck with us, disease. Yeah, so it's just like, people are trying to get back to civilization now. Mm-hmm. And it's finally getting to the sense that people are wanting, you know, the scene to come back.
Motherfuckers is fiending.
Fiending, definitely fiending.
Yeah.
Definitely fiending. Like, so what have you been... What have y'all been doing on this on the break? That, well, I get you, the mandatory break that niggas had to take when, you know, when this comedy hit. I mean, when this COVID hit.
When it first dropped, I was like leaning all the way into the internet stuff.
Yeah.
Like the Zoom comedy shows, and those are fun, but it's kind of like starting over again. And like, one, it's a different muscle.
Yeah.
But then two, you have to grind your way up through the shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah. And like, some of the shows you have to sit through and while you're grinding your way up, it's like, this is... Why am I doing a show with this person telling these jokes? Like, I don't want anybody to see me in the audience looking at this and think that I'm co-signing this.
I definitely, myself, when it came, I'd done one Zoom, and I'm like, nah, it was okay, but it didn't, like, I wasn't feeling it. Like, I'm like, this is cool. You know, did I see you laughing? Because I hear chuckles, but I don't know who's laughing. You know, and then especially...
Those phantom laughs.
Yeah, especially if you have your screen to where it just shows one person, and then that one person talks, and then it's a baby in the background, and that motherfucker not paying attention. I'm like, well, this is a terrible Zoom mic. I don't like this. Like, I'm not really sure what the fuck's supposed to be, what I would like to look at.
That are run super legit, and it's like, man, but you got to grind your way up to get on those. And I've been fortunate enough to do one or two of the really well-produced, well-attended ones. And those are fun. Not to mention, they will make your Cash App ring out.
Yeah?
Your Cash App, like, boom, boom, boom. Like, you're on, like, you're doing the Zoom show, and you got your phone next to you.
Yeah.
And you just see the Cash Apps coming up. And you're like, yeah, I keep telling jokes.
That's cool.
I keep telling jokes.
See, and that's
I haven't gotten to that.
Zoom show.
I haven't gotten to that.
Not that I've been on any, really. But I definitely wasn't on that one.
I've been on a good poetry mic that was something like that, to where motherfucker was like, don't speak about the background. Look, we gonna have you in the background, but this is not what people gonna see. And I'm like, this is fucking me up. You want me to memorize some shit? And you saying don't speak about the background, but that, bitch, there's a green screen, and there's this nigga, there's three screens that I see. This one's black, but apparently it's just cause this nigga got the lights off. This motherfucker, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, this is fucking me up. And then he go to light his blunt, and you just see, you just see his face illuminate. And I'm like, motherfucker, you smoking back there? I was like, I'm sorry, they told me not to mention this, but nigga, this is a whole little setup that they got going on. I fucking spoiled it all. I pulled the curtain back on the fucking on Little Wizard of Oz, man. Yeah, it was fun. Poetry was a little bit different compared to comedy, because poetry, you know, they put the snap fingers up. And that's when you feel like, oh, you're doing real good, you see the hand claps and shit going up, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't really need to hear nothing
when
it comes to just doing poetry. But when it comes to comedy, I did my mic that I did, it was a political mic. All
right.
And I was the only black guy on there. So immediately I came out with nigga, and they wrote on the side, hey, he said the N-word, and only he can say it. And I was like, oh, man, stirring up controversy and shit on this political forum that we're it was still fun, though. So, you know, I don't want to condone that that's the shit. You know, I didn't do bad, so that's why I can be like, yeah, that was fun. But nah, I don't want it to continue. I definitely don't want Zoom mics to continue. I wanted to die like Quibi.
I'll be honest. I think they're gonna stick around for a while.
Damn
it. They won't be exclusive. Like, think about, like, if you're like a real life traveling headliner, and you got like a set, you about to close out someplace in like Huntsville or whatever like that.
Yeah.
You're in your green room. Let me jump on one of these Zoom shows while I'm in the green room and make an extra $200, $300.
All right, John. Okay.
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
Nigga, when you put it that way, I gotta wait for my feature or my opener to finish. I got a good 15 minutes to waste.
Let me get this money.
Let me warm up real quick. Yeah. Practice these jokes right quick to this audience that ain't gonna really respond like I want them to, but I'm still get that money though.
Certain people, like the best example, if you want to see a Zoom show done correctly,
shout him out.
Judah Friedlander. His he does it every day for an hour, but he does all crowd work. You know how his routine is. It's a lot of crowd work. It's maybe like 80% crowd work.
Yeah.
And he does that an hour a day, every day on Zoom.
Who is he crowd working to? Just
the audience members who paid to see him do
it. Oh, so he has audience members come.
It'd be like 150 people in there.
Oh, okay. So. All right, I thought you just meant like he shits on people in their rooms. He's like, look at that dumbass goldfish. You got a stupid bowl.
He got just like the whole Brady Bunch screen in front of him. He's like, oh, you.
But you're joking. But yeah, stuff like that. But it's not mean. Like, you know, his.
No, I know his act. That's not like that. Yeah, he's at least as far as I'm aware, is he's not like no insult comic. Or
you know how like Vince has a joke where he's like, you know.
Zambon?
Yeah, where you scream out some professions and people scream out professions.
That is fun. I do like when he does that.
Stuff like that. Like, yeah. It's like he'll give the audience a prompt.
And then just riff off of it. And
then they'll say something, and then they'll pull that person up on the screen.
Yeah.
And then he has a conversation with that person, and then works his jokes into the conversation.
Oh, that's nice.
So to them, if you haven't seen him enough, it's like, oh, this guy's a genius. This guy's making this up on the spot.
Yeah.
I studied a dude, and it's like, oh, I wonder if he's about to go to that joke. Oh, there it is.
Does that really well that I listen to because I'm thinking about it. I was thinking about it before we thought about this, but then I blank on his name, and now it's just like that's what you get because you tried to prepare yourself for it, and nope, off the cuff sometimes it just doesn't happen, and it's like fuck. But now that I have it in his head, I'm gonna think about it, and when it comes around, because he's good at just doing crowd work. That's all he does.
Was it Sam Talent?
No. That guy's good at that stuff, too. Not Sam Talent. He was just on Your Mom's House not too long ago. I don't know. It'll come to me. Nate Bargatze is in my mind right now, but it's not. It's definitely not Nate Bargatze. Just because, like, I don't know why. That's the only thing in my head.
I mean, he's funny.
Shit. But anyway. what is your... Do you have, like, a favorite go-to?
What do you mean?
Like a favorite go-to when it comes to bits?
Oh, right. I don't have a
favorite. Something that you couldn't just get rid of just yet.
Yeah, I got a joke about the controversy between me and my neighbors and them complaining about the train coming past my house.
I like that one. I do enjoy that one.
COVID, that was my opening joke because at one point it was my second strongest joke and I was doing like the whole formula thing.
Yeah.
Your strongest joke is your closer. Your second strongest joke is your opener. And then you try and get some laughs off in between.
Yeah.
And that one works pretty good. And it's the only joke that's pre-COVID that's definitely going to stand and act when things open back up.
How has... what about you, Brian? Like, what is... Do you have a fave that you just can't get rid of just yet?
I mean, if I'm being honest, like, I look at all of them as my favorite. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I tend to, like I think I'm kind of at the point where, you know, certain stuff, if I told it for a long amount of time, then it's not like this, like, painful thing. It's just like, oh, you're just like an old friend. Okay,
peace. Old friend.
You know what I mean? Like, see you later. You know, yeah, the best time, way of type, you know putting things. But I would like to say that, you know, I also got ones where I'm like, oh, you, like, me and you together. You know what I'm saying? So it's a couple. It's one. I got this one. And it, I would still like to do it. I think I could do it, but I don't know. You know, to a certain extent, like, and I will answer this question. I've had this thought a lot since this whole pandemic happened, and it was, I know, especially early on, it was this feeling of like, not to say that my stuff before doesn't work, but just like I felt changed by what happened, and I just felt weird about telling those same jokes because I felt like the perspective had changed a little bit. And even this feeling that, and again, this is like earlier in the joint. I got a little bit more perspective now to kind of, you know, have a little bit of caution about that. But, you know, it was like, does anybody want to hear shit? Like, what do people want to hear? I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm reading and intaking, and none of it is like easy or like light, you know? So, but, you know, I did do some shows, in October, I think. And so that was the only stint. So I didn't go a whole year without doing it. But I still, it's been a long time since I've done it since then. And at that point, I was able to do stuff that I had done in the before time. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel like foreign to me. And then I was able to bring some shit, I tried to bring some stuff back that I hadn't told in a long time. And I was like, oh, this actually, I feel like this might be more fitting now than it was then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have that feeling towards some of my things.
It is one joke I would say that I've been holding on to for the longest. And I still hope to, like, even if I was to put it on something, I would like to tell it. And you're familiar with it. It's you might also be familiar with it because of this project me and John have been working on that hopefully will come see the light of day at some point in the near future. Niggas That Brought Dick.
Yes. I enjoy the niggas that brought dick.
That's like, you know, obviously it changed and morphed like from when I first started telling it, but that's like when I had from like when I first was starting. Like at the tail end of like my first year, I had that one and I was trying to work on it, and then that became like, that was like, oh my god, like that was my I climbed the mountaintop for me.
That's like my, I almost died from eating pussy bit. That's some of my favorite ones, and I'm like, bitch, I can't wait till I bring this back on the world.
And it's like, you know, it's to me, it checks a lot of the marks that I like for a joke to check, where it's like, it's just fun to perform it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so whether it's the wordplay stuff or like any kind of animated act out types of things, like it hits that mark for me. It's like it has a, you know, it's based off of actual shit that happened in my life, right. You know what I mean? So it's not this like, this is a joke about Firestone tires, you know what I mean? Like, no, this is like an actual thing, you know, that I experienced. And so, you know, it has that little therapy aspect that I like to get off in my shit. And then it's also one of those joints that, like I feel like it's a storytelling bit. And I like storytelling bits.
Storytelling bits are fun. Ian Bagg. Ian Bagg is the guy that I was thinking of. He's the guy who's you just don't know what he's doing on stage. Oh, my God.
Able to weave it.
His crowd work is just amazing. I'm like, that's how I want to be on stage. But yes, to counter what you were saying, that's definitely like some of the jokes that I do need to, I would love to keep around, and I can't wait to like things like really open back up, because I got them to the point to where it's like, oh, these are there now. They're like muscle memorized. Is that?
Well, muscle memory is usually
muscularly memorized.
Though it's like it's words, so I don't even know.
Is that how you would say that? Actually, muscularly memorized.
I don't know why you're looking at me. You just keep looking at me like I have an answer to
that. Well, I mean, shit. I figured you might. You know, I don't know. It seems like.
What do you mean, like dialed in? Where it's like, even if you're doing new jokes and things aren't going well or they're not going how you want them to go, you're like, I got one in the bag.
All right, since you're 3 years in, this is a good question to ask. 3 years in, have you ran into tunnel vision yet?
What do you mean?
Like, when you're on stage, you've gotten to the mode to where, like, you don't really see nothing. All you hear is you and your jokes and then the laughter.
That's happened before. I'm not in that right now. That happened maybe like year or two. And then I had like some epic bombs and situations where I should not have bombed. Where it's like, okay, everybody's getting laughs except for me. And I had to snap out of it and had to like do something different where it was not just me going on stage, running my mouth and laughs coming. It's like, oh, this is not automatic. You have to be there for it.
How would you say your childhood was?
My?
Mm-hmm.
uh Like, I think it was all right, but, like, you know, objectively, it was sort of rough. I grew up in the Desire Projects in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
And that was the 80s and 90s when New Orleans was, like, the murder capital of the United States.
Yeah, we used to rap about it.
So, it's like, if I was in the worst neighborhood in one of the highest crime cities in the country, which means I was probably in one of the worst neighborhoods in the country, but, like it dawns on me, like, when certain things happen, like, you know, like...
Yeah.
Somebody was like, oh, such and such got murdered. And I'd be like, that's a shame. And I was like, that's really your response to that?
Because like, you're nullified to it. Yeah.
But, like, it never really dawned on me until maybe, like, in my 30s. I was like, this is not a normal upbringing.
No.
Yeah.
No, so much murder shouldn't be, like, really fucking bestowed upon children especially growing up. You're like, yeah, yeah, I didn't really see it or nothing like that, but
these kids in Syria, that shit, boy. Not to say that negates, because I mean it's a similar thing, and that's why motherfuckers be like so traumatized and they operate a certain kind of way because they've been inundated with inhumane shit. You know what I'm saying? And then you have to adjust to that as just, that's basic reality.
Fucking.
Not that it's like, oh, no, this is not some shit we supposed to be dealing with.
No. Or,
because, like, even back to what you were saying about not knowing shit was as bad as it was or whatever, being able to look at it objectively, that's how I always recognize that when I talk about, like, my middle school or my high school experience. Like, when you tell people, like, oh, yeah, I went to a school, we had metal detectors, you know,
and
riots.
See, that's the thing.
Did you say riots?
Yeah, a few riots.
A few riots. See, that's the thing. And that there's mild compared to, like, you know, places like overseas and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I listened to Francis Ngannou. What it took for him just to get here?
Yeah.
Yeah, have y'all heard the story about Francis Ngannou, the guy from Cameroon that fights in UFC?
I don't know about his story.
Oh, but he's about to fight for the champion, about to fight Stipe Miocic again for the championship belt. For the heavyweight.
Cameroonian?
Yeah, he came from Cameroon.
So, yeah,
For him to get down here, nigga, like, he had to fight people. He had to climb barbed wire fences. Nigga, like he had to learn how to sail. He had to teach himself how to sail. He had to become a leader of some people.
He had to lead a group
of people. We got to get through this shit, nigga. Yeah, dude. He had to travel some water. He had to traverse some waters.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yo, just for you to get here and do that,
yeah,
and be the fucking heavyweight, get close to being a heavyweight champ. I'm like, God damn, nothing can stop you.
Like, you hear this dude's story, and it's just like, I like wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
I like wrestling.
Nothing can stop you from being who you want to be if you made it here.
Not like, oh, I got to fight this motherfucking...
This nigga got turned around so many times.
My huns.
Son, they dropped these motherfuckers in the... Dude, he said he had to cross the desert. He had to cross the desert just to get from one area to the next area. And this desert crossing, like, 24 hours.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, they got to ride on the back of this. There's a truck that picks them up. You got to get to this truck. Once you get to this, it's like a good, like, 12 of them or something
so
like that.
Is he a kid at this point?
No, he is. This just recently. Like, he just recently came from this shit. Yeah, now he a grown adult.
Okay.
Yeah, now he a big, strong man. This is why he is probably as strong as he is now. And they said they had to hold on to this truck. And if you fall off in the desert, bitch, we can't stop. Because if they find us, they're going to kill us. So, nigga, hold on for dear life. He said, we put the people that had the babies, we put them in the middle just so they won't fall out.
Yeah.
And then we got to be holding on. And we in the desert. And we got to ration our water. And if they get caught, they drop their ass right back in the middle of the desert. They got to do it all over again. It's like, this is a terrible game. That's life. That's a real life game.
That's
like,
terrible.
If you fucking lose in Mario, you know how you go back to the beginning of the board? That's exactly what they do. Then he got to go back a few states. It's like, yo...
That's why he's a UFC fighter, and I'm telling jokes.
Yeah, you seem as if you could take these punches to the face, because the hardship that you had to go through just to get here.
It's probably minimal.
Yeah, that ain't shit. That ain't shit. And this money that I'm getting in, man, I seen you in a commercial. Yeah. And he is bringing awareness to Cameroon.
So wait a minute, how many fights has he done?
In the UFC, it hasn't been many. It hasn't been many, but he sends people to heaven. Like,
okay,
nigga, he knocks people's soul out.
So I'm just trying to get an idea of, like, his trajectory. So I'm assuming, like, he's undefeated.
He's not undefeated. He's been beaten.
Okay,
he's been beaten, but he's Nigga, he just got to the UFC.
Okay,
so to say that he's, you know, making his run like he is, like, motherfuckers, he's a monster.
Well,
like,
I mean, he ain't really UFC that good. Shit is a little bit different than, like, at least, not that I know a lot about boxing, but, you know.
That's what he was doing. That's what he
asses whooped.
See, so that's the thing.
You just got to get that run.
No, yeah. In boxing, I remember when I used to watch boxing, you wait like 8 years to see two people fight each other.
Yeah.
UFC, mm-hmm. If they got two people you want to see fight,
oh, gonna it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
You want to see him tomorrow?
See, the thing is, he came down here. He was like, all I want to do is box. That's it. I don't want to do this MMA shit. What is this MMA
okay,
shit?
Gotcha.
I don't want to fuck with this MMA. He just wanted to box.
Oh, he's a boxer?
He wanted to box.
Oh, okay.
And AJ was like, nah, nigga, you need to do this. And he was like, whatever. So he got in there and started knocking heads off and then making money. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is where I should have been. Yeah, you're a Cameroonian. You know, you had to fight your way to get down here. Might as well be a warrior and put your ass in the ring. And, you know, that's... I don't know why we got on that. Was there a reason why we got
oh,
on
you
this?
Had asked me
but
about
just
my
just oh. upbringing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, hardship.
Nobody cares.
Common fucking barbed wire with the hands.
This man went through the desert for 24 hours just to get punched in the face.
He had to squeeze
he sound like a bitch,
water
right?
out the fans.
I didn't
they had
think
to snap
about it like that.
Out the air so they wouldn't yeah. fall off the truck.
He did. He did. Man, he went through some shit.
But no, I mean, it's one of those joints where, and this is probably super morbid, but like to me, I think there's a lot. It's like, you know, man, like life ain't really all what it's cracked up to be, man.
Nah.
And not to say that it could be great for certain people, but for some other motherfuckers, it's the worst thing that you could ever encounter. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, like, you know, you definitely, like, I do come from a family, like, where even if we ain't got shit, you know, they got that little motto is like, it ain't no sense in complaining because who would care if, anyway, you know what I mean?
That's fucked up to say.
That is, I mean, like, you know, so it's just like, I think a lot of people, that the reason people can survive certain circumstances is that you kind of build up the fortitude to deal with that shit. You come up with the coping mechanisms to deal with that and whatever it is. But in that, it does, and that's why I think like therapy and shit is so important, because you build certain coping mechanisms that if you get in a different environment, you can't keep that shit. You got
to
switch it up.
We definitely need a show called Kamari's Corner. To where you just get morbid on everybody, man, and you just let people realize what life should really be like.
But I see this a lot. Like, I used to do a lot of volunteer work with, like, homeless kids and stuff. And not necessarily from the kids, because, like, I understood where they were coming from, but, like, the adults, as sometimes I felt like I was, like, a cipher. They'd be like, I don't understand why this kid acts like this. And it's like, you don't understand. When he leaves here, this is what he's doing right now is going to keep him alive when he's not around here.
Yeah.
And what he has to do is figure out a way to, I guess you'd say, for lack of a better word, like you call it code shift and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, okay, this is how I act if this happens to me here in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I act if this happens to me here, me at the shelter.
Yeah.
Where it's like different things will get you different advantages.
Right.
But it's like at a certain point, you walking down the street and somebody's like, they say something bad to you, if you don't come back with something,
if you don't react like you're supposed to, then you're going to get checked aggressively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I remember like first week of high school, I got like, I don't want to say it was, I got jumped into like, or I got assaulted by some random dudes. It wasn't the worst jumping in the world, but it did happen. It fucked the nigga up for a long time. You know what I'm saying? But it was just on some, like, I'm walking home from school, and it was two cats who, you know, raised in the same area as me. Probably, you know what I mean? They obviously, like, a different kind of mentality than I am, where they gotta, like, just exhibit that fucking toughness and all this other shit.
Yeah.
And they see a motherfucker who's by himself. And I mean, you know, I don't look super fucking...
Got all this pent-up aggression in me. I need to get it out.
I don't look super intimidating now. I definitely didn't look it as like a little 14-year-old. And so these motherfuckers just ran up on me and like socked me in the back of the head.
Damn.
That's legal blows right there, Joe.
You know, now thankfully I got lucky because
you was
lucky.
Quick on your feet and you can run fast.
No, that was not the luck.
Damn.
I was lucky. It's lucky in hindsight, but at the time it was embarrassing as shit. Because, so it's raining and this is happening, you know, like, dude, one dude hits me in the back of the head. The other dude is in the front of my face. He's about to, like, he's squaring up. And I'm just like, bruh, like, can you just please let me go home, man? Like, for real. Like, it's raining.
How that strategy work?
You, why you, why you go? And then, so.
I just imagine he's a dude from Everybody Hates Chris.
I got that energy. Yeah. That is, you know, that ain't, it's definitely similar perspective, man. But a lady who her kids went to school. I mean, her kids went to the same high school as us. And then I went to middle school with them. And she went to church with me. As, you know, just a person I knew.
Yeah.
She pulled up and saw this happening. And then she knew the dude that was about to, like, start hitting me. And she was like, friend, get your ass away from here. You leave that boy alone. And then she realized it was me. And so then I had to get in the back seat with both of her daughters. And then she took me home. And then here I am with her daughters. And I'm like, they know what happened. I'm like, man. Like, I didn't even try to fight back. I just was like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's the worst, my nigga.
It that, was super embarrassing, bro.
Nigga, that dude, like, you got to understand, like, especially growing up down here in New Orleans, just like, you know, you saying you've had a heart. So you understand when you go certain places, you know, you probably should act accordingly.
Yeah.
Just so dumb shit won't happen. Oh, I remember growing up down, I had to go Iberville.
Spidey
Iberville
senses.
Project, yeah. I was standing outside thinking I was being cool, you know, hanging out with one of the project kids that came over and shit. And they just staring off in the gaze, being real mean for no reason. You know, and I'm watching them. I'm like, this is cool.
Gaze.
Yeah, yeah. Just what we looking at? Like,
I ain't
never
gonna get up out of this situation.
Yeah, ever. You see them pigeons over there? Like, yeah, fuck them pigeons. Why? Why are we so mean right now? Yeah, nigga, so I went out there, you know, thinking I'm being cool. I'm in a tank top. I did a few curls back then. You know, I did some push-ups. I was like 8, maybe. You know, I went out there and I James Dean that shit, nigga. I leaned up on the side of the building, on the side of the porch, nigga, with my arm up. And I'm like, yeah, man, this breeze feels good. I'm chilling with the homies right now. Nigga was like, man, put your fucking arm down. I was like, oh. He was like, nigga, nobody wanna see that shit. I'm like, there ain't nothing under there. But alright, nigga. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to be frightened and get punked. Yeah. I get it. Alright.
And, and then that shit stick with you forever.
Forever.
Dude. Every time.
Forever.
I could go to that spot where I got jumped right now. And I'll be like, I need somebody to come with me. I need that lady to save me the next time. I was like,
I'm not going down that block again.
You come with me. Go back over here, bro. Oh, man. And that's what we call trauma.
Trauma.
Oh my god.
Yeah. This is what we decided to do. We decided to put ourselves through trauma every time we get on that stage because it's very similar.
But see, yeah, that's the thing. It's like you. Well, I know for me, like, humor was so much a part of my, like, coping mechanism shit. You know what I'm saying? And so to have this spot where you can go and you can get the thing that make you feel safe. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, no, I'm going to run to that. Why would I? And then especially, like, because, you know, you had that initial early. Even if you do good, because some people start off and you could do well, relatively speaking.
Right.
But you'll have that run where it's like, fuck, what am I doing?
Mm.
But when you can kind of break through that and then you actually know what you're doing and you can make people, like, you're making people laugh and you're like, oh, I actually know how to. I mean, that's where you get into the, like, superhero origin story.
Yeah.
It's like you got the early part where you first learn how to do it and you like Peter Parker and you shooting out web and then you smashing into buildings and shit. But then you get it where it's like, oh, I can shoot the web where
my feet
cover
about
your
me.
Mouth.
Okay. I got my feet about me.
And then it's like, oh, now you can wield this thing that has brought you, you know what I mean, again, so much, like, comfort. Or and so much, like, you know what I mean, warmth.
Yeah.
So, you know? when you first time getting on stage, like, how did you feel? Like, after when you got off, were you like, yeah, I'll do this again? Like, did you get that feeling from it your first time? Usually people do.
No, I knew I was going to do it again, but it wasn't fun.
Oh, no.
It wasn't fun at all.
So you didn't have the oblivious feeling to, like, what it was going to feel like. You understood that, like, regardless, you... Like, cause when I first started, I got the jitters, but I didn't understand what it was gonna feel like once I got done.
Yeah, see, I would tell you, like, before I went on stage, like right before, I was shaking.
Yeah,
and I'm saying this as a person, like, I'd done spelling bees, I had done speeches. Like, I had been in front of a crowd of people and talked. Yeah. So in my head prior to, I'm like, I know I can get in front of people and talk. But when this shit was about to really happen and it's like filling in and so like the spot where I did it the first time was a comedy club. So I'm like,
the spelling bee?
Huh?
The spelling bee?
No, not the spelling bee.
The spelling bee was at Carlson Elementary School.
Oh, okay.
But in other schools, but that one specifically, that's where I won it. But this is my first time doing open mic. Mm. So I was at a comedy club and, you know, again, like the times I went there for the open mic to see it, and then you would see people who were not great, which made it a little bit easier to do it. But then you also saw people who were like, oh man, wait a minute, you should be on TV. And
which so it's makes just it like tolerable.
You know, it's just like an awe. You have an awe for it. And so for me to, because I mean, like, contrary to like Jonathan, like, I know I was also a big fan of comedy, mm-hmm. but it wasn't accessible to me to go watch it when I was like in Dayton or like even when I was first living in Columbus. I didn't know where to go see comedy or know where it was at or like, oh, this, wait a minute, it's down the street at this bar. I didn't even know you could do it. But I did, like, that was one of those things when I was a kid that I like, oh man, like if I could figure out a way to do this, I would love to do this. You know what I'm saying?
So that was like, your dream as a child.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, it was, and I mean, I had other dreams in that. I always like to make that clear because it was other things, even in that same, like, I thought I was going to be like a beat maker too. Like, yeah. I was like, oh man, like, oh, I'm about to the make beats.
The little things we do before we, you know, find our true calling.
Now, granted, it's funny because shit come full circle because it's a part of me. Now I know that, like, the entry, because when I was a kid, I used to think that, like, if I'm doing beats, then I got to be just fucking Blaze or some shit. It's like, nah.
Just Blaze?
I could be just regular old Kamari doing beats in my bedroom if I like to make beats. You know what I'm saying?
Kanye.
And so, you know, but when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I want to be DJ. I want to be producer. You know what I mean? Like, that, I had that. I wanted to be a journalist. And that was the shit that I was, like, actively, because that one seemed like the most realistic to me. I was like, all right, you know, I know people. This is a newspaper. Da 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 da. I'm like, all right, I can see this come to fruition. Whereas, like, comedy just didn't seem real at all.
That's what gets this exciting. So, to say that you just stumbled upon comedy recently, what was your dreams as a child?
Man, the only thing I ever wanted to do, I don't like talking about it on podcasts, but I wanted to be a lawyer, and I'm a lawyer now.
Which is like, I wish we could insert claps. I also wanted to be a lawyer at one point.
Kamari?
For real.
Kamari wanted to be everything.
I did want to be everything. It was a point where I wanted to be an actor because I was like, if I'm an actor, then I could be everything. I could act like I'm a lawyer. I'm acting like I.
Yeah, that was everybody, every child has a dream.
I never wanted to be like a pilot.
I myself, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. I wanted to go through buds training. I just wanted to go through a hard obstacle course, basically. I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do for the wrong reasons. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I honestly thought you could train whales and, you know, that.
Wait, train bit, them to do what?
To jump over you like Free Willy. Like, but you know, go Willy. No, whales can't even jump out the water like that.
Like, wait a minute, so what was the whole Free Willy shit there?
That was fake as fuck. That was just.
Wow.
Yeah, whales can't do that. Well,
why did they even put it in the movie?
Because it's for a child. It was magical.
Wow.
Yeah, that fucked me up too. Oh, you just learned it? Oh, yeah. Once I found out, I was fucked up for life.
I don't even see the point of doing that. Well,
the point of, because it was cool as shit. It's like, look at the water dripping over him, and this whale fucking did not succeed at jumping over him. Like, you know, like whales, they can breach the water, but, you know, they can't really jump out like a fucking dolphin or a seal. Some sharks can get up there, but they still can't fucking, you know, sharks off the Cape of Africa. Oh man, the flying sharks, you can look that up on Google or fucking YouTube.
Okay.
The flying sharks out the Cape of Africa, they come out chasing these dummy seals and boom, fucking tails come out and everything. But you still notice that this big ass shark, it still ain't jumping over no little 6-year-old boy, 12-13-year-old boy. Over no rocks and shit, he's gonna land on that kid. And I was like, once I found that out, I was like, this is fucked up. I shouldn't have learned this, but I did, and you know.
That was how I wanted to be a magician too.
I dropped out of college.
That was one.
I also wanted to be a magician. I wanted to do card tricks, but my fingers ain't big enough.
This is what fucked it up for me. So I went online and I found some easy card tricks to do that was like essentially like math tricks.
I'd be
able to do them, and then Muffins be like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
And then I went to the amusement park up in it's called Kings Island. They had like, you know, one of those vendors, and they was selling like, he was doing the card trick on the side, and then they sell you the pack. And so like, you know, he's doing it, and it's like, oh my god, like cards is cutting and it's disappearing. I'm like, oh shit, like,
yeah.
I get home, and then I look at all the instructions, and then like, I think, well, some of it was that I'm lazy. So I didn't want to figure out all the finger stuff to be able to do, because I really was thinking like,
do the finger shit.
I'm actually learning real magic.
No,
that's what I was thinking. Oh, I thought you about get to go the to cards and it's and like, shit. Boom, like
boom. That's what your magic sound like.
Not like, oh, okay. So you gotta cut this card to make it look like this, and then you gotta tuck it behind your finger. I was like.
Oh, you gotta do, you gotta do some fucking work. Yeah.
Like sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand,
I gotta stuff it in my, so it just don't.
Hands was like, fingers was never big enough. I always had a wide enough palm to do it. Yeah. Just, I couldn't manipulate my fingers to get to do what I wanted to.
Yeah. Like, I would watch that shit where it was like behind the scenes, like the magician.
Oh, the mask magician and shit? Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
You shouldn't be telling us this.
You really teleport
this
out of
going on, this is going against the code. I know it is.
Wait, so I think we're getting to the fundamental difference between me and most good comedians. You actually thought that you were going to be able to train Wells to get out of the water.
Oh, shit.
And you thought
it was actually magic.
I did.
So that's why when I went on stage the first time, I was not surprised.
Yeah, we have a level of
confusion. Yeah, very much so.
That you do not
have.
Oh,
my God. You should. When I was growing up, son, I so wanted to be a breakdancer. And back then, like, they didn't have video tutorials.
I wanted to be a breakdancer.
So what I had to do was I had to go ahead and download the form of how to breakdance and shit. So I used to read up on how to breakdance. I'd move the shit out of the way in my house and shit. And one of these times, I tried to air flare one day, and I clicked my ankles on the tile, and oh, that was it for that. Nigga, my ankle swelled up so bad, and I was like, you know what? If I tell my dad that I gotta go to the hospital because I broke my shit because I was trying to break dance where I shouldn't be break dancing at, yeah. So then, you know, that kind of ended, and I wish I'd be nice if I'd have kept up with it.
I'd
be nice at it, but
I actually think you can still probably.
I can do a little bit of things, but you know, that's. Just the heavy stuff, but my shit, I'm getting older now. These shoulders don't want to stay up. Shoulder bursitis is the thing.
Yeah.
And it gets bad. So you became a lawyer.
Oh yeah.
You became what you set out to be. And
And
now instead of, you know, talking at people, you wanna talk to people about this comedy thing. How does that mix?
Well, it's also a correlation. I just want to say that. Yeah, I know you recognize that.
Well, I think the two things help each other. Like, I'm not as quick-witted
public speaking
as a lot of you guys are, but I'm very studious, and I put a lot of time into studying the craft of comedy. And I was like, well, the things that I can't come up with on the fly, I'm just going to have to do it more than everybody else. I'm just have to go up more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you feel as if that's a handicap?
For me, I think it's a help. The idea that I can't rely on just funny stuff coming to me. Like I can't rely on that. And it's like,
that's so strange to think about it like that.
Yeah.
Because that means you actually... So you actually be like, yeah, fuck. I guess in my head, because the way you think about things, you're like, I actually have to see if this is funny.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of just being like, this was a normal conversation and that was funny, I'm going to just do this on stage. And you got to be like, nah, I need to see if this joke is, like, actual.
Like, I've seen Kamari, I've seen Ed Black also do it where we're having a conversation before the show. And it's something that they had never thought of before. And then they'll go on stage and do it 20 minutes later. And kill with it. And I'm thinking, that would never happen to me.
Oh,
I definitely wasn't doing that shit in the beginning.
No.
Like, when I was in the beginning, shit you not. Like,
That was Ja Rule's whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that was some shit, like, I picked up a lot from him.
Yeah.
And doing that, because, like, when I got down here, I would say I was more, like, I don't want to say rigid, but, like, I was more, like, precise. You know what I'm saying? And then when I started, and even, it wasn't just John, it was just rolling with all y'all. And y'all, and not to say, sorry. I didn't look at it as being like, oh, y'all sloppy or whatever. Granted, you know, sometimes John would actually be sloppy.
Oh, yeah, that shit would get sloppy.
But I saw the value in not being so wed to exactly how I said things.
Yes.
And seeing how, and I think this is something that people said Patrice would do, Patrice O'Neal, is that where you might have a nugget, and you can kind of get to it different ways.
Yeah.
And that's what I would see John do. John would have a nugget of the shit.
Yeah.
And then I would hear him say it like 8 different ways.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I hear it kill, like the hardest it's ever killed in the world. And then sometimes I see a bomb, but I see each way that he would get to it.
Yeah.
And then so.
Good blunt.
I didn't want to let the blunt go out.
We call those roaches.
Just let it go, brother.
That's a good little bit right there.
But like before I came here, or even when I first started, the way I came up with my first set was, I knew I didn't want it to seem like I felt like I had issues just writing out like every like set up punchline like that, but I had a thorough outline, and then I tried to essentially rehearse the outline.
Yeah.
And then so I rehearsed it like a whole bunch, so then by the first time I did like my first set, I essentially had it memorized like that, and then that was kind of how I did my stuff, like the first
verbatim.
Well, not verbatim, because it would still be going off of like a rehearsed version of me doing it.
Yeah.
But it was like I had a rhythm of it.
That's fun.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad you brought that up, because when I first started, that was my thing to do. Like, I did my first set in front of my mama, verbatim. Like, this is what I was going to say. This is how I said it. I had it all written down. And when I used to go up on stage, I used to have it in written form. Before I used to put it in bullet points, I used to have it all written out in written form. And I'd go over there and peek at it and just hope that, like, one of the words would pop off, knowing that I can't see that shit at all. But, you know, just having it there, it gave me the comfortability. Like I feel comfortable with my phone up there. And I had to get out of that. But that's what I want to... Are you still like reciting verbatim, or?
I never really did verbatim, but like I did do a very rigid, like I guess you'd say, checklist, where it's like, here are the punchlines that I'm trying to hit.
Yeah.
While I'm talking about this thing, and they did go in order.
Yeah.
Unlike a Bill Burr or a Patrice O'Neal, where they have the checklist of things that they want to mention, but it doesn't necessarily have to go in a certain order. They don't stress if they miss one of them, because they didn't miss it. They intentionally skipped it. Whereas with me, it's like, oh, man, I forgot to say this.
Ah, so you're still at that phase.
Well, I'm starting to get out of it in that, like, now, I guess right before COVID, the way I was writing stuff is something I took from you, Kyle, as far as, like, sometimes just go up there without a plan.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just want to talk about this one topic for 5 minutes and see what happens.
Yeah, and that's fun. That's where the crafty shit
comes. I got some really good jokes out of that, too. Just I'm gonna go up there and talk about this one topic, and then the next time I talk about it, It's 2 minutes long. It's like, here are the punchlines. Like, oh, next thing you know, it's like 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, this is like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well-written joke.
Yeah.
But you had to fight for it.
Yes, definitely got to fight for it. Do you record all your sets?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You should ask the better question.
Do you video record?
Do I listen to them?
Oh. Well, see, nah, and not everybody, because sometimes you don't like to hear yourself talk.
Nah.
So, yeah, I know it'd probably be hard, but it's there, though.
It's
good that it's there.
If it's a new joke,
at least
like,
got it, yeah.
I'm writing some stuff about my grandmother. She once got arrested. She dropped her purse in a Swagman's, and her gun went off, and she got arrested.
Wow.
And she was telling me this story. We were, what do you call it? Out of town for the hurricane. We were evacuated for a hurricane a few months ago, and she's telling me the story, and I asked my mom about it. My mom, she just walks out of the room. It comes up that my mom, not only did her gun go off in a grocery store, my mom was the cashier when this happened.
Oh shit.
So my mom
got to see the whole thing.
How wild.
That is
how wild, dude. Oh, that's good.
That is what the fuck.
Family matters are always hilarious.
Wow. That's like a good one to just go on stage and talk it through because it's just it's a funny occurrence. And so it's getting laughs just talking about it.
Well, and then it's just like, it's got that beautiful thing that I love about comedy is that like surprise element to it in a way that like you would, you already had this like, wait a minute, a gun going off in the somebody's in an old lady's purse in the store, and it's like, and then her daughter was there. And it's like, what, that first, extra.
The first far-fetched thing is that your grandma. Why your grandma got the purse in the Schwedman's?
My grandma is from the country. She is not from New Orleans. But I think it makes sense for a New Orleans old woman, too.
Yeah.
When she moved to the big city, she took her 8 kids at that time. She's
8 of them.
And she left my grandfather, and she moved to New Orleans with all 8 of her kids.
Ooh.
And her aunt said, take this pistol. You're going to need it in New
Definitely.
Orleans.
Definitely. Because you got 8 kids. You don't want nobody snatching them up because you're claiming on them taxes. So.
Well, in her first 5 years in New Orleans, she carried a pistol with her everywhere.
Yeah, shit. Your entire life in New Orleans, you should probably.
No, it's a good thing she doesn't have a pistol anymore. It's a good thing.
Well, sometimes. Well, yeah, I guess when you get older, because people get trigger happy, when people get trigger happy. Ooh, I noticed that, you know, the more gun situations you get in when you have a gun. When you don't have a gun, shit doesn't really pop off like that. I remember they have this one time where I had this fit of road rage. Everybody has road rage, right? You know, from time to, you don't get road rage?
No.
You're in a Subaru. I wouldn't understand why you would get road rage. I get it. Like, you shouldn't get road rage.
No,
but, I've gotten into a fit of road rage coming off. I think he was going to or getting off work. One of the days, I'm pissed off whichever way I'm going. You know, either I'm going to work and I'm mad, or I'm leaving from work and I'm like, man, fuck that. That was dumb. You know, so, and there was this white man and he had his little kid with him. And he cut me off, and he was being an asshole. He was being a big asshole. So I was like, man, fuck that. We about to deal with this situation. So it came to a point to where we was driving. He was cutting me off and shit. I drive in front of him, cut him off. Fuck you, nigga. This is some bullshit. We got to a point to where it was a red light, and I was like, fuck yeah, I got you now. So red light came. Then he was like a car length behind me. Like, no car behind me, just, you know, that's how much space he gave. So I got out the car, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Right?
Was
wrong
this in
move.
Louisiana or Texas?
Yeah. Nah, this is in Louisiana.
Both bad ideas.
Going towards Chalmette. This is before a nigga got shot for doing some dumb shit like this. So I got out my car. I was like, man, what's good, bitch? And I went up to his shit, and I started banging on his window. And then I seen that his little son was over there. And he just stayed straight. He didn't look at me or nothing. And I was like, motherfucker, get out the car now. And I was like, you know what? I'm probably doing a bit much right now because there was so much traffic backed up. I backed up all the traffic because I'm like, man, bitch, get out the car. You know, because, you know, he was being rude and disrespectful. I'm like, you want to flick me off and shit? We have the time and the space and the opportunity to get beat in front of your child. And, you know, he did not step out of his car. And I was like, you know what? This is probably a good idea. I should probably just get back in my car. And I drove off after that, and I thought about my ways. You know, I was like, I'll never let this happen again. You know, I get mad, but I'll never get out the car again because I'm like, that could have ended bad.
It's good when you can learn a lesson and you don't have to really take the consequences of that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't had a couple of them. Not that shit. I've never done that. But just like I made a mistake, and then the results of it could have been disastrous. But I was able to definitely learn from that mistake.
I can't imagine what would make me get out of my car and roll up and bang on a white person's window in St. Bernard Parish. No, I can't imagine what they would do to me where I go, this is the business.
Yeah.
If I'm in the car and I'm on the street, I'm staying in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got out that thing. I was like, all this feels right at the moment. At the moment, I was like, yeah, if we throw these hands, nigga, I'll see what I got.
This is why it's really crazy to me, because in his head, they were going to have a fist fight.
In my head,
at no point was this man going to throw a hand.
Exactly, son.
Yeah, he was going to drive over you. He was going to shoot you, potentially.
And, oh, man, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm instilling fear in this man's eyes right now, because he ain't looking at me. He ain't taking his hands off the wheel, and he ain't doing no erratic moves, and his son is just like, just shaking, like,
he found the right one.
Yeah, apparently. Because, I mean,
he was
big and bad behind the truck driving and shit, which was like, all right, cool. But then when I got out the car, You know, I'm not intimidating. I'm too small to be intimidating. You know, I'm like a little bit of Tasmanian devil. My shoulders ain't even that wide. So, you know, it shouldn't startle him that much. But, you know, I was yelling and yeah. I was bucking. And lots of obscenities came out. And,
I mean, when you do,
yeah.
The worst yeah. road rage I ever had, I was in D.C. I was driving down, Georgia Ave. And I was stopped at the red light. And, like, you know, like the kids are all crossing, the Howard kids are all crossing the street right there. And there's like some kids who are like sort of like straggling, and I don't just run them over. Oh. And I let them pass, and the guy behind me like, starts honking his horn, and I just go, I'm just gonna wait.
You just
wait for their light to turn red. Wait for it to turn green again. Wait a few seconds.
Oh shit!
And I was like, okay, now I'll go.
You're that guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you would have got out the car, I would have went immediately.
We're gonna take this long route. Yeah. We're gonna torture you with the weight.
Yeah, I have time. I have time until he gets out the car. No, as soon as he gets out the car, time is up. Time
fuck
is up.
Yeah, man, that's been amazing. We're getting down to the nitty gritty of things. Not really the nitty gritty of shit.
I mean,
but
I feel like this has been a good conversation.
It has. I've been enjoying. I'm glad.
About both of y'all.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to. What type of lawyer are you?
Oh, that's a good question. I can't really talk about it right now. I'm in a transition. I used to do a lot of stuff with property, historical property rights and stuff like that. Like, people want to buy like a piece of property and they need to know what happened on it 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I also used to do a lot of stuff with elderly people as far as like their wills and their end of life situation, and did a lot of stuff with disabled people, just whatever they needed.
Yeah.
But transitioning, I'm about to start doing some nonprofit work that I don't know if it's official or not yet, but it's a pretty big project. It's going to go pretty good if I get it.
That's dope.
Yeah.
What was your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject in school? Math.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
I liked it. It was honest. That's why I like honest. Well, the thing is, it, you know, like,
I
you
love
know,
that. You write I've never heard that put that way.
And they fuck around with you on your paper, and you get a C. It's like, not a C paper.
Yeah.
There are no spelling errors. I know the logic is flawless. What are you talking about? The math problem is like, it's either right or it's not right.
It's right or it's wrong. It's right or wrong. Oh, that's a good way to think about it. I have never thought about math that way.
But that's why I like comedy. Either they laughed or they didn't laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no debate. It's like, did they laugh or did they not
either
laugh?
They liked it or they didn't like it. That I felt that coming back in, because usually when I first started out doing comedy, I was like, I can't keep doing these same jokes. I always got to keep going something new. But then I realized, like, if you do like beef up a joke,
yeah.
Like the more and more you do it, the more and more like, you know, like the stronger it'll be.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just like working it out. So I've noticed I got to get it in my head, because it's this ADHD brain of mine where it's like, all right, nigga, you did it already. Let's move on to the next one. And, you know, so it's like now that I actually sit back and I go over, I'm like, oh, I can find more tags. And like, this can lead to this
like,
now.
That's what people, a lot of people, they'll get the joke and they'll get it to like good enough. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's the kind of comic they want to be. But it's like me, it's like, okay, I know that this joke works. How do I make this joke a closer? Like, every joke, I'm like, I want this joke to be able to be a closer or an opener.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I get this joke where it's like a serviceable middle joke to this is a legit closer? And like, that's sort of trying to rotate my jokes in the set like that.
Oh.
And then I rotate some out and rotate some old ones back in and try and work. The idea is I have maybe like 30 jokes that I really like that aren't necessarily time dated, where it's like, if I keep working this might be a really good joke a year from now.
See, that's why I like to talk to people that are actually people that study comedy.
Because
y'all are people that study. I'm just somebody that's like, fuck that, let's get in and see what's up. You know, I'm really reckless when it comes to doing things. That's why I ride a unicycle. Because it's like, let's see what if I can do it. I got this shit. And I've always been that way. You know, I've always just was able to pick shit up once I got good at something. And then, like, once I was able to keep doing it, I'm like, oh. And then I get good. But I've never studied the aspect of it. You know, I've never studied the back, like, tumbling. Like, I'm a flipper. Like, I was I've never been to a gym. I've never been to an actual tumble gym until, like, I got older and I started cheerleading. And that's when we went to gyms and shit. And everybody would tell me, like, you flip pretty good, but you've been flipping on the street, haven't you? I'm like, Yeah, how do you know? It was like, oh, nigga, you do it all wrong. You ain't got no form or nothing. Nigga, you gonna throw your neck out.
She's like raw athletic. She's like Giannis off this bitch.
Yeah, exactly. You just using straight athletic abilities.
Like, nigga, you ain't got no skin.
No form or nothing.
Gotta tumble in the hood.
Yeah, it was like you flipping on mattresses, my nigga. That's what you're doing? Mattresses and fucking exercise trampolines? No, nigga, look, this is how you're supposed to do it. And then I realized, oh, once you get, like, knowledge behind what the fuck you doing, it makes things a lot easier. And I was like, oh, okay. So once I learned how to actually tumble, and then I stopped calling it flipping, and then I started saying tumbling, and like, what you doing? Nigga, I'm doing a backflip. No, nigga, you doing a back handspring. That's what that is. So, you know, it's like, oh, I get it. You can apply that to everything in life now. And now I'm starting to take a seat back and just like listen to the people that's coming up and seeing how they're actually doing their comedy. And it's like, well, this is what I do and this is how I do it, and you know, and so I'm like, oh shit, I might need to pick up a book, even though I don't read,
but
because you know me and words don't work, but I listen to an audio.
I do think that just like the more you do something, but if you do it like intentionally, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
you pick up on things, you can pick up on certain stuff intuitively. Like I didn't know what the fuck a tag was when I first started doing comedy.
Yeah.
But I think I was able to come up with tags for shit. Like, oh, this is... And then it's like, okay, now I'm able to... I got the language for it. And so now it's like, okay, I got this. How can I tag on it? Boo, 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 boo. But, I mean, I think it's some value to, like, having... I once kind of broke it down for me. It's like, I want to have equal amounts of skill and feel, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like skill and feel, you know what I mean? So it's and that's kind of the way I look at it. It's like I want it to seem like it's very intuitive, but that's just because of the skill level behind it, that it can seem so intuitive. And I think that's like that's what the best comedians have mastered. That's what the Chappelle's, the fucking the Patrice O'Neal.
They were trying to come out.
I was like, oh, let me not mention somebody that people will frown upon, because I care about that sort of thing. But, you know, real good comedians.
My nigga.
Real good comedians. People, the comedian you admire.
You was about to
say? I think so.
I was saying, like, with any art, like, you know, like, there are the people who are the grinders who learn it from like the book, and they're doing like this like hybrid quasi academic type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look towards the top at most of these endeavors, it's not somebody who learned it from a book. It's somebody who had great mentorship or great people to idolize.
Oh, that's because you say that, which makes me say, being in the construction field, that's exactly how things are. Because you got your motherfuckers that are book smart, that'll be like, oh, I know all the knowledge of being an electrician.
Got his natural
I know all the knowledge of electricians. I know this is what's supposed to be happening with this. This is how you're supposed to do this. This is how you're supposed to do that. But I'm like, nigga, have you ever been in the field? You put your hands on this shit yet? If you ain't put your hands on it yet, nigga, you can talk all that shit. But unless you've done it, nigga, you can't really say much about it.
Yeah.
And until you put that knowledge of what you got hands on, nigga, it's just gonna be knowledge that's in your head. Yeah. And so, like, I was talking to James Jermaine last night, because apparently last night nigga wanted me to headline, and I ain't been done comedy in over a year. And it was like, Kyle, you got 15? I was like, what? Alright, yeah, I got you. So, which was nice, I smashed it. But other than that, like, I understand, like, if I got 15, I get to take my time. So that's something I had to learn at over the years, because like when I first used to come out, I used to come out balls blazing. Alright, y'all, see y'all tomorrow, you know, whatever. Motherfuckers, you be like, hey man, you shit funny, but you gotta calm down, man. You gotta calm down. You slow down so people can hear you. I'm like, man, that's me though. That's me. That's my style. That's what I do. Until I realized, oh, when I calm down, nigga, things are clear. And it's just like, oh, things open up. And James Jermaine came up to me last night. Shout out, James. He came up to me last night, and he was like, hey, man, I realize I like what you did. I realize how, you know, you let people, like, you have something special to say, so your inflections, you fluctuate between your inflections. Like, if you have something special to say, you can bring it out loud, bring it out quick, but you also slow down so people can understand what you're saying. He was like, man, I ain't do none of that. Nigga, I just came out and was like, rah, 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 and I was like, yeah, man, you gotta learn. Like, people still gonna be listening to what you're saying. You know, just chop that shit up. Sometimes you can bring it out speedy, sometimes you can slow it down, fucking let people know what you're saying, but, you know, still get people on board to your cadence. Yeah, basically.
That's what I like about you, because, like, there are different ways. Like, I start off slow and quiet, and then I can make exclamation points by being loud or being animated.
Yeah.
But you can also do it the other way, mm-hmm. where when you really want someone to listen, you can slow it down, and then, like, they're immediately, like, when you do that, when you slow down and you take your breath, everybody picks up and they're looking. It's like, yeah. Oh, something's about to happen here.
Yeah.
Or even that's like when people say, like, whispering. Yeah. It's like, it might seem counterintuitive, but that can make people listen even closer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That I enjoyed how I've watched your progression on stage, John, and it has been, like, you're one of the people that I've really noticed, like, your progression came on quickly. Like, even though you might not notice yourself, because, you know, you say, oh, yeah, I bombed this time. You know, you've glorified the bomb on this podcast heavily. And it's like, no. Fucking do what you do. That's your thing. You sound like Kenny now.
That's how you learn.
But that, yes, you have, like, you've taken those moments and you just flipped them on their head to where your sets have just been solid. And it's like, oh, this motherfucker is doing his thing. And it's so crazy to see. Because you don't really, in the life of comedy like this, you don't really expect to see progression like that, because you're always around that person. It's just like, you know, all being always around a puppy. You don't see it grow up until you leave and come back, you know. But to be able to be like, oh man, I've noticed that this guy has gotten better throughout the weeks, even though I'm seeing him on a day-to-day basis, like, this shit has gotten better. And is to see that and to see your progression and the person that you are when you come on stage, it's a very solemn dude. And it's quiet to a point, but it's methodical. And I fucking love it, because it really gets me invested into whatever else you have to say next. And I'm like, I don't really judge people comedy, I guess, like other people do, especially the people that actually read up on it. I look at it as oh, this is just another person that's doing what I'm doing. Let's see how he's doing. You know, so
That's why Kyle is so great. That's a beautiful way to look at it. I don't look at it like
I know,
that.
Son, it's so wild. I can't see it how other people see it.
And you shouldn't be allowed to do this.
This man's making a mockery of comedy.
I would take it away from you if I could.
It bothers me so much that I can't see it like other people see it. I'm like, damn it. Am I doing something wrong? Should I be a comedian? Like, I don't do it like, I don't look at it like they look at it, and it seems like I should be. But everybody's like, oh man, you fucking good. And I'm like, am I? And I'm not like these guys. These motherfuckers really studied it.
But see, the reality of it is that, because that's how everybody who don't do it look at us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
So, and that's true. And kind of go back to the whole, like, this is why I don't think it doesn't matter how you think that you're doing it, because it's just all about how they receive it. So it's like, you could... It's no different than, like, we can name, like, Deion Cole.
Yeah.
Or, man, my OG. Fuck. Hannibal. Yeah. But I mean, like, Notebook. Not Deion Cole. He used to roll with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh. Bad guy.
Oh man, just
I can see this dude's face. This is embarrassing if we don't
hold
come
on,
up
with AVR.
I'm shutting the podcast down if we don't come up with this name.
Please come.
Are you talking about George Wallace?
George Wallace.
Oh,
George Wallace.
What's his homeboy's name though?
George Wallace's homeboy?
No, him and Seinfeld's other homeboy.
Mario Jordan?
Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, now we can continue the podcast. Yeah. That was real embarrassing.
I'm sorry.
Think
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I see, can name now, some other ones see, for y'all.
Just now, you motherfuckers put me in the
Tony
box.
Woods. I can name other ones for you.
You motherfuckers but, put me in the box, son. This, I don't learn shit like that. But, nigga, George Wallace. I'm like, wait, George Wallace?
He's like the governor, the racist governor? No,
see,
no, no.
See that you came up with it? I'm over here like, I'm going to just be quiet.
My guy don't yeah. need to wash.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What you saying about George Wallace?
But I know he's put out the notebook. And done that as well. I just mean in the sense of, I'm talking about like how crowds receive stuff.
Yeah.
Like where you can have it where, or even like in Gerard Carmichael's first special, he pulled out like a notebook at one point and like went through it. And so you can have it where like it's all performance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the crowd, even if you pull out your notebook, you cannot have shit on the notebook.
Son.
And you could just pull it out.
I'm pretty sure when Deion Cole pulls out the notebook, ain't shit on that notebook. Yeah. When George Wallace pulls out that notebook, he really got his jokes.
Yeah,
no, that's really.
And again, you had different levels of it where motherfuckers are actually. I mean, I've been on stage sometimes, and if it's something like I don't want to forget before I leave, I'll pull out a notebook and have it. But I'm just saying that level of like.
John always had his phone in his pocket.
That was his shit.
That always.
But that was
it.
He would just have it, and he wouldn't even be looking. Or
like, yeah, man.
He'd be like, nigga,
just pull that bitch up and just feel comfortable with
it. And put it away?
Dude. You know what got
me like a tick.
What got me the most nervous to get on stage and do something new was when nigga the poetry shit came around. And just like y'all saying, like when he was doing the, you know, bringing out the book and writing it down in the book, then that's something different and something new coming. Well, I mean, it's not anything new now, but it's something different compared to what people are doing. And like to bring that aspect, like that made me feel like, oh, I started doing comedy all over again, just because it switched things up.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's there, you know, I mean, when it first came around,
skill set,
yeah,
that's just like
we didn't know what the fuck it was gonna be.
I know me personally, I've seen you develop with that, and I would say less so with the writing of them. I do think the writing has improved, but more so with the like your ability to grasp them and your ability to like manipulate them, and I think that's what really helped. Your stand up in the sense of like the way you're able to accelerate your pace,
yeah.
Or how you can like heighten
that's
something,
a good way to put it.
Or how you can bring it down. You know what I'm saying? I think once you really got into your poetry bag, that's when I started seeing that shit get pulled out.
Yeah,
and stand up more.
Yeah, because I realized that doing the poetry, like once I first did it, and I was just like reading the words out. Like, but once I memorized the words, because I had to do a poetry verbatim. So once I memorize the words, I'm like, oh, this has an inflection to it. Like, if I say this a certain way, like, this is going to make a pop. So I understand, because when I recite my poetry, I like to recite it like, you know, like it's rapping. Like, I'm rapping. Yeah. So I like to flow with whatever beat that I have. It goes to no beat, but in my head, I Kanye that shit. And I'm like, there's a wavelength that I'm going on right now. And I want to da 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 shit like that. And that's how I have it in my head. I'm like, oh, I could take this and because what I'm doing it's comedy, but it's still I'm rhyming and it's fucking poetry. And, you know, I'm at a poetry place
bars.
Doing this shit. Yeah, exactly. So when I took that to the stage and I realized, I'm like, oh, I can use this, and that's how comedy poetry, the Inquisitive Observation, came about, comedy poetry. But I realized that I can take this and mold them into bits. And I'll be like, I feel as if when I say this, I'm like, oh, I'll Bo Burnham that shit. I don't want to look at it as like, yeah, this is what Bo Burnham's doing. But I would say it's similar to...
Actually, you know, the way I look at it, and this is something new, and this is like really recent, this is a quarantine thing, starting to see the link between comedy and poetry. Because I was real big into poetry and hip hop, you know, before I got into law school, I was real big into both those, poetry and hip hop. But like now, I'm starting to see how similar the things are, like a not every comic, but like you look at like a Jerry Seinfeld or something like that. Some of his laughs aren't necessarily coming from the material, or even a George Wallace. They're coming from the way they said it, and the speed, and then where they stop.
Yeah.
And it's like they're programming the audience to be like a good punchline and hip. It's like, ooh, ah.
Yeah.
But instead of ooh, ah, they get laughs.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really, and like that's why like the folks like you and Corey, who can integrate either poetry or music into their comedy.
Yeah.
You guys are just hitting a whole nother level with stuff.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it has been. It has been fun. It feels like a. It feels like a different lane for things that I really would like to open people's eyes to. Just because, you know, it's actually molded my poetry into just me being more activist like, and I'm like, I wanted to get back into being more funny and do more silly shit, but then I also want to do, there's so much shit in my head that I don't need to be talking about. But it's still, it's just like, you know, I can go down a rabbit hole of the things.
But, cause, I mean, just, like, ultimately, you know, I know this is a comedy-centric podcast, but, like, ultimately, and I think this is something that I learned since I was down here, because, like, before I came to New Orleans, I was just, like, very much, like, I'm keeping my tunnel vision on the comedy, like, stand-up. Like, I'm gonna fucking knock this stand-up shit out the bag. I'm gonna try to be the best stand-up that I could be. I'm gonna put all my time and energy into, like, achieving that. And then when I got down here, you know, and meeting meeting people who practice different art forms and really kind of seeing their process, and then also, like, just watching the performances and being in that mode, and then kind of realizing, like, that the barrier entry to certain things was a lot lower than what I was thinking. And so, it allowed me to explore and do different things. And then I just realized, like, oh man, like, it's, to me, ultimately, it's like, it's all coming from the same place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the you know, you could say, I would say, like, you know, just the inspiration, man. It to me, it's all coming from the same place. We just wield it differently. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, like, to me, I want as much as my other shit to be in everything that I do as possible. So, like, even if I was doing some shit, like if I was, because let's say I was to pick up a saxophone and be like, I'm about to be fucking John Coltrane out this bitch, but just like, I want to fucking get the saxophone, I want to get to it. Like, I would try to have it where I would play it with some sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be this just like, oh, I got to get... It's like, I would want that because that is a part of all my other artistry. And I also would want, like, a certain level of melancholy in that, too. And I try to keep that in my stand-up. Like, it's not just all, like, fucking guffaws, man. You
That's
know
what
I mean? Like, it's got to have some, like, you know, some of this other energy that I got rolling around in me. And so...
guffaw is a nice word as well.
You don't get a chance to use it often, yeah, but I see it. So I'm like, I'm going to say it. I think I done used it like twice
awesome.
This week, I think.
Fuck yeah.
But nah, man, like I think it's, and again, I think, because not to get on some like political bent, but like our society kind of breeds us to be in this like climb to the top mentality. And you know how your mama say don't put all your eggs in one basket?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's true. You shouldn't. I think that this last year has probably been the best teacher of that. And so, it's for ourselves, like, we operate in this art shit on some tyrannical shit where we just, like, focusing in one area when the shit should be democratized. Like, we should be spreading ourselves as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, it all helps and influences the other thing. It allows you to have more shit to talk from, to more experience to operate from. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the more you want to do your poetry, the more you want to fucking knit and ride your fucking unicycle.
Crochet.
And, yes, again, sir. Like, this makes you a more
interesting...
I'm crocheting now. I'm trying to get into that.
A more interesting, unique person, so that when you on stage talking to people, motherfuckers have reason to listen to your ass.
Yeah.
Be like, wait a minute, this nigga out here riding a unicycle and knitting, and he also was a tumbler. Like, I don't want to hear this motherfucker got the same. Instead of just like, I do comedy.
What else is interesting about you, nigga?
In a row.
Yeah, I like that. People from New Orleans, it's always more than one thing just to keep the hustle going, because we never just keep it.
And I've been there. I've done the shit. I've done it too. I've done it. But just understand, like, it's a time. And when you feel like, you know what, I done burnt myself out a little bit, take your time and explore some other shit.
Fuck,
bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just give yourself room. And again, like, I think it's, like, we in this shit, I think, ultimately, because we talked about the traumas that we've endured. the lumps we've had to take doing comedy. Yeah. So we not in this shit just for no like for no like just material gain. Like we're in this shit because it really draws something out of us.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like I think that it's important to kind of keep that in mind. Cause I think that helps you maintain the right type of perspective on this shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like this ain't no shit. You know what I mean? This ain't no shit that you like. This ain't no like halfway shit.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And again, to me, it's like I don't want to just say that about comedy. For me, it's like I'm not no halfway artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know what I mean? Nah, I ain't fucking with that.
I love the artist aspect. You know what I'm saying? Aspect like, of it.
You got to be full weight with this.
To be an artist makes you feel like yo you're a little bit better than just the normal people. The normal people, oh you got a regular 9-to-5. Well, guess what I do after work? People always get amazed by what you do. Oh yeah, you know me, especially when they see me at the job, cause I definitely don't like to bring that up first. Yeah. People see me, oh man, how long you been doing electrical for? 13 years. Oh man, you really in it? Yeah, I do it. And it's like, oh okay. And then people see, hey son, I heard you're a comedian. Is that what it is? And I was like, yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, how long you been doing comedy for? It's like, oh man, people get really amazed when you tell them that. It's like, oh, that's something I would never ever do, you know, that's scary. It's like, nah nigga, working with 480 is scary, okay? Nigga, this fucking electrical, I don't give a fuck about your jokes, my nigga, at all. So nigga, you better pay attention, nigga, this comedy shit, nigga, it don't hurt nothing but your feelings, alright? And your heart might get broken, but this will kill you.
Yeah.
So it weighs its differences. But man, hey, this has been fun.
Yeah,
fucking, I'd like to ask some questions before we dip out. It's just to like you're into animation in like the DC and Marvel and shit
that. Oh, okay.
All right. Good. This is Tell Me a Joke, but we are on here. We don't really tell jokes. We just give you bits and give you bits of our lives. But what Joker would you say best embodies you?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Nice.
That's a good one. I want to say the old school 1960s. What's his name? Dude? Romero? What's his name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Cesar
Romero?
Is it Cesar? The one from
old school Adam West Batman.
The Adam West Batman, yes. Yeah. 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 Ah, I love it.
He was mostly harmless, but
that's how my brother. Ah, yes, that's how my dad, he did the same thing. Ah, thank you.
Mm. It's edible.
Edible. Thank you. That's what my dad said. He said he would prefer that joke because he was practical.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I do the silly shit.
Yeah, you know? he ain't gonna kill you, but no. he gonna give you a headache.
Yeah, I'll give you some laughing gas and tell you some jokes, terrible jokes, but I'll tell you some jokes, you know. That's what's up. What about you, Kamar? How you?
What Joker would I be?
Yeah.
See, man, mine's not gonna be as interesting. I'd be the Heath Ledger Joker.
You're more of a dude, though. I understand that. Yeah,
that's the one I am.
That seems like.
Yeah. I mean, if we being 100, I wouldn't be the Joker. I'd be the Riddler.
You be the Riddler, and yeah. We can do that. You can go that route if you feel.
Wait. We don't have to be the Joker.
You don't necessarily. If you feel like you want to change something up, you go ahead and change.
Well, I like Bane. Bane is my favorite.
Your
super
Bane?
Villain.
Oh, really?
Because Bane always lets you get your like if you arguing with Bane, he's like, I'm gonna let you talk. I'm gonna give you a chance to talk, and then I'm gonna kill you. Go ahead and talk. And he will let you talk, and he says what he has to say, and he says what he has to say, then he
kills
you.
Yeah, I would be Jim
Carrey Riddler. You'd be Jim Carrey Riddler. That's interesting.
Or you know what, though? I do got, like, some Two-Face in me, too.
Yeah?
I got some Two-Face.
Oh, man, I would say
probably... I'd be Billy D. Williams.
You know what?
They didn't let him be Two-Face, but he was supposed to be Two-Face.
You know what? You know what? If you're going at if you're talking like that, since I'm a big Batman fan, I gotta go the Batman Beyond Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, he was wrong as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was wrong as fuck. And he did his own thing, and he was like, you know what, fuck that. I'm the new Batman. You old, you just sit back and back, and, you know, I'm going to do what I do. And that's how I feel. I want the old heads to just sit back in the back and let me do what I do. This is a new millennium, you know. Let me be me.
Nah, yeah.
Let me do my thing. And, yeah, and, you know, that's a sweet-ass also bat symbol, so.
Oh, no, bro. I fuck with that Batman hard as fuck.
Yeah.
That's one that, like.
It makes me feel good. This made me feel good.
I mean, not to say that they need to come out with. I'm kind of tired of a lot of.
Oh, no. Oh. I can't do this. You want to go halfsies?
I'm sorry. I can't do
that. God damn it.
This is where my gummy. Two worlds collide. It's so, and it's I have to like, tell the comics. It's like, yeah, I there see you what you guys are doing, but I can't protect it. I'm still a professional working.
Yeah, that's a different world right there. Mm-mm.
But like that should be a movie. That should be a movie. Like, I'm tired of Bruce Wayne.
What?
Yo, a Batman Beyond movie?
I want to see a Batman Beyond movie or Static Shock movie.
Static Shock needs to happen.
Static Shock.
I think I've seen some kind of movie or some short film.
Thank you for bringing it up, because I have been trying to push since I've also been on the Metal Hand of God that I need to beat Static Shock. Mm-hmm. Just because I got the dreads already. We just tucked these bitches under to make them smaller.
You realize that Static Shock's a high school kid, right?
Exactly. I am the height of a high school child. I can definitely do this. I'll shave this shit up, man. We'll be good. We'll be good. I'm ready to send a shock to your system.
You know, put some CGI on
my face. I got it. Yeah, you can definitely CGI my face. Get the crow's feet out of the corner. It's not a 36-year-old man. No, it's not. It's a high schooler.
Yeah.
It's a tumble and everything.
Yeah. I can do my own stunts. I want Jackie Chan that shit.
He could just be in one. He can't do the whole.
Yeah.
Trilogy.
Give me, just give me one show. That's all I need. Let me Andrew Garfield that bit. Did he do one? Did he do two? He did two.
He got two.
Oh, okay.
He got two.
Damn it. Ain't none of them did one, huh? Anyway, but yeah. All right. I've brought this back up, and this will be the last thing that we'll leave out of here. But it's called B1, Raise One, Sell One, and Fuck One. Okay?
B1.
I don't
know if I like where this is going.
B1, Raise One, Sell One, Fuck One. Uh-huh. And since I'm a man of alliteration, your choices to pick from are, okay, B1, you got to be one of them, okay. You got to raise one of them, you have to sell one of them, and you got to fuck one of them.
This is going
to
go all bad.
I know. Wait till you hear the choices.
There's no way that this is going to work out.
Wait till you hear the choices. Yeah, it's going to get even worse, okay?
It gets the worst with the fuck one. The fuck one,
right.
Is gonna be
so
that's the one I'm worried about.
Your choices are, you got a mogwai, you got a mermaid, you got a Mexican, and you got a manatee, okay? You gotta be one, raise one, sell one, and fuck one.
I'm just gonna go ahead and not get canceled. I'd be a Mexican. Let's get that out of the way off top. Not getting canceled. What are the other three options now?
I mean, you can raise a Mexican if you like. Yeah, you can be one, raise one, sell one. Oh, Mogwai, Mexican, mermaid, and a manatee.
I'm gonna fuck the mermaid.
Okay.
Yeah, is it a mermaid at the top or a mermaid at the bottom?
Whatever mermaid you want.
I say mermaid at the top. Okay.
All right. I think I got.
All right. Wait. You still got a few more. You got to.
You got to sell one.
Yeah, you got to fuck. You got. Okay. You got to be one. You got to raise one. You got to sell. Nah, you got to sell one and raise one.
I got a mogwai left and a manatee left.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sell or raise. I'm gonna sell the mogwai. That's just easy because I'm not raising the mogwai, because I'd be up late at night hanging out with my pets and just be throwing food at them.
I'll definitely go have more.
Like, oh, man, okay. I'm gonna raise the manatee.
Okay, good shit. There you go. That's the safe route. What about you, Kamal?
All right. I've thought pretty hard about this. I'm a fucking Mexican.
Okay.
I'm a be a mermaid.
All right.
I'm a sell a manatee and I'll raise a mogwai.
You'll raise a mogwai.
I'll raise a
you
mogwai.
Understand if you're a mermaid and you raise this mogwai, you can't get it wet. You understand this, right? Just to let you know.
It won't be a mogwai for long.
See, you guys got it backwards. They multiply when they get wet, and they turn into gremlins when they eat after midnight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you got 37 Maguire.
Oh man. Well, then I'll sell. Then I'll sell all the extra Maguires.
No,
then.
You got to keep. Got to raise.
I got to keep
all. Kept that manatee, son. Yeah,
yeah. Oh shit, that is what happens. Okay, when they get wet, they do. And then when you feed it, Don't when you feed them after midnight. That's what the fuck it is. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Well,
I'm old enough to have actually seen that movie in the theater.
I've seen it a few times. Well, me myself, I would be a Maguire. And I would raise a mermaid, and I would fuck a manatee.
Wait, what?
And then I would sell a Mexican on the black market. Huh? Yeah.
This is a good podcast.
No one's ever, like, chosen to be, like, the manatee or the Maguire. So I think I would do it that route. Yeah.
I think just the trap door is the Mexican where everyone, they're like, we got to pick the right one for this one.
Yeah.
You know, that Key and Peele gift with the sweat. It was like,
oh, well, you
I don't
guys.
I want to traffic humans. So this we'll just stick with the what is already cool to traffic.
I get uncomfortable watching human traffic in movies. So I get you. The skip trace. All right. Well, this has been fun, you guys. We have been fed edibles on the duration of this podcast. Except for John Reynolds. He did not partake. He did pass them around, so we split them between me and Kamari ourselves. And this has been a good one, man. Let everybody know where they can find you at, John.
Man, you can find me on Instagram. More importantly, you can find me on Venmo or Cash App at John Reynolds ESQ.
Esquire. Nice. Is that what it is on Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, it's on everything. On everything. I don't know that's why I put it like that, because at that's first it was funny because nobody believed I was actually a lawyer. And then they started to realize that I wasn't bullshitting. And now I get like text messages at 3 in the morning. Hey, John, I got a problem. It's like, whatever kind of law you need, that's not what I do.
It's not for you.
Where they find you at, Goodbye?
They can find me at Super Mario Bro on IG.
I love that name.
They can find me on Venmo at Killamari. And then they can find me reading children's books on YouTube. You better read.
There you go.
Definitely subscribe to that joint.
Yeah, definitely.
Subscribe, share.
All that.
Don't let your kid listen to bell. This. But let them watch the You Better Read.
You can find me in St. Louis rolling on dubs. Smoking on dubs. Beamers. We show the love.
Shrugs.
We show the shoulder shrugs. That's what it was?
Shoulder shrugs.
Memers. Memers and shoulder shrugs. I said beamers. We show the okay.
Wow, this podcast is like 45 minutes over.
This has been a good one. Man, this has been Tell Me a Joke. The guideline of chasing the dream. I have been your host, the Maniacal Menace.
Yes.
Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp name.
In
slick
New
back.
Orleans.
If y'all want to email me, I got a new email. It's at tellmeajoke@gmail.com.
Okay.
So if you got anything.
Legit. Email your questions. Yeah.
Haven't gotten any emails yet. But if you want. I think I wait too long to tell them about the email and shit. You know, I don't know how this works. I don't know who really listens, but people hit me up and like, good shit. And I'm like, all right, I guess.
Email me.
So email me at tellmeajoke@gmail.com. If you have any questions, inquiries, you just want to know some shit, if you want to tell me some shit, hit me up, man. But until then, y'all have a good one. Bam, 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 bam. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Got some.